Now, this number, 108,000, sounds like a lot of people. It's actually about 5% of the federal workforce, and that compares, as we talked about on the Federal News Countdown today, compares pretty favorably to turnover in the private sector, and yet that is still a fairly large raw number. Do you have some thoughts about what agencies will be dealing with when they're trying to work through this?
Well, you know, I think what we're seeing already, you know, as we go into this year, and typically January is a pretty good barometer of what kind of is to come, particularly because that's typically when folks are saying, "Yep, I'm actually headed out the door from a retirement perspective." And right now, you know, in the early stages of even December and January, that seems to be on the uptick. So, you know, the issue for agencies as people are retiring, particularly retiring, is are you actually going to have the ability to backfill? Again, you and I have talked a lot about the need for agencies to focus on recruitment, and that's part of the equation, but the other part is really being able to hang on to that talent. So whether it's due to retirement or other factors, people leaving right now is actually absolutely critical to agencies being able to perform their mission, and particularly when we're in an environment where you may not be able to backfill that person or backfill several people.
What's the strategy for doing that? Different agencies have different constraints. You know, the 2-for-1 or 3-for-1 or there's a million different permutations of it. Does that make a difference what the structure is on how you're going to be able to replace people, or is it pretty much the same concepts no matter what?
Well, I think it does make a difference, Francis, because again, you know, this isn't a cookie cutter, and we can't look at everything collectively. If you've got, if you're able to replace more, you're able to replace less. But the key is here, I think, really for agencies to keep an eye on this. So, you know, the worst thing that can happen to any organization, including a federal agency, is to be blindsided by departure of staff. So, the bigger question for me is what are some things that agencies ought to be doing to keep an eye on and really use as a barometer of whether or not this is actually going to be a problem or not? Because
mm-hmm.
if you're only able to fill 1 for every 3, for instance, but nobody's leaving, that actually might not be a big deal.
Right.
On the other hand, if you're losing a ton of people, it's going to have a much greater impact on your ability to operate effectively and achieve your mission. So I think first and foremost, you know, agencies need to be looking at data and looking at, you know, their payroll systems and the FedScope and central personnel data file and, you know, a lot of other internal sources. Pay attention to the attrition rates, particularly those who are being hired for the first time. You know, we had talked last fall about the number of people who were fairly new to the government and their intention to stay or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good barometer. If it looks like their intention, and again, best places to work in the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey give you a lens into that. There's a question about whether or not you intend to stay. If you've got a lot of folks in your agency saying they're not intending to stay, you ought to be thinking about what that strategy is and how you actually deal with that if, in fact, the quote-unquote floodgates open up for whatever reason. You need to really be keeping an eye on external influences as well. What's the economy doing? I actually saw something the other day online that said more and more private sector companies are investing more in training and development in 2012. And this article went on to say that the reason that they're doing that is somewhat indicative that the job market in private sector firms is actually starting to pick up. Whether or not that's true or not, whether or not we'll fully see that or not, don't know. But within an agency setting, we need to keep our eyes on what else is out there, and will that be a draw for federal employees and particularly those that we want to hang on to. So we really need to be aware of the situation and from there then try to figure out strategies and tactics to hang on to those people that we really need to most hang on to.
Now, in tough budget times, training is one of the first things that goes away. Is there a return on investment case that you can make with training so that you can say, wait a minute, don't cut that. That's what I need to keep the people that I want to keep?
Well, I think there's certainly a return on investment that can be made for, you know, keeping really good employees engaged and productive in your agency, and again may not have those good measures within government, but in the private sector, researchers have reported that the cost to replace a private sector employee can run anywhere from 50% to 200% of that employee's annual salary. So if it's 50% of that employee's annual salary that basically you're losing as a result of losing a good employee, and then think about, again, whether or not you're able to replace them to begin with and what it costs to replace them. You know, again, anywhere from 50%, that might be not such a bad scenario, though clearly, you know, the numbers are going to add up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking at the high side of that 200% for everybody that leaves,
yeah.
You know, you're not in a good position, particularly given financial circumstances that agencies are under right now as well.
What's the thing that I should be doing that maybe I'm not doing now when it comes to monitoring my employees? And that sounds a little bit weird, but that's not what I'm thinking about. You know, I'm thinking about your example of just paying attention to what's going on, watching trend lines and so on. What's something in that area that I'm probably not doing as an HR professional or a hiring manager in government that I should be doing?
So, you know, probably the easiest thing to do and the most overlooked thing to do, Francis, is actually just having conversations, and it's really being a good manager or a good leader. Is oftentimes we wait to have any types of those conversations until it's time for somebody to leave, and at that point it's actually too late. So somebody comes, whether it's there or here at the partnership, somebody comes to me and says, Tim, I'm actually leaving, and you know, in 3 weeks I've got another great offer. I'm going to think about it over the weekend. At that point, I'm going to tell you it's too late for me to do anything. Instead, if I'm having conversations with them throughout the year, not just from a performance standpoint, but is the work that you're doing rewarding? Do you feel engaged with it? It's again, being a good manager, a good leader, having those very candid conversations about whether or not that employee is engaged or not will actually send some signals of whether or not he or she may in fact be looking and what their other opportunities might exist. So it's, yes, we have to look at data. Yes, we ought to be talking to them on their way out through exit surveys and exit interviews to identify what the real issues are. But really the most important piece is that day-to-day management that goes on, just that monitoring and those conversations about where are they at this point in time and how are they thinking about their work and their livelihood here at this agency.